Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoud. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past three decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking Tech's electric smokers and AGM Global Vision, maker of an awesome line of thermal hunting scopes and spotters. Feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Welcome to the Campfire, brought to you by DFC, Conservation Education, Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, Stealth Visions, makers of some of the finest scopes and binoculars I have ever had a chance to use, Mossberg, rifles and shotguns that Luke and I really enjoy hunting with, Taurus, fine handguns at both end of hunt with, and then also with Vineyard Max, a new product that's on the market that Luke and I've been playing with, and I'll tell you what, it works. Mr. Luke Clayton, it's springtime.
It's springtime. It's the deer woods. Things are changing. The bucks have, you know, hey, here's a topic for us today, Larry.
Okay.
And folks, you know that we are highly organized on our, Larry and I. We have this all documented and written out and scripted. Just kidding. But a good topic would be antlers. The bucks right now, most of them have shed their antlers a month ago, maybe, or, you know, a few weeks ago. I know that's changes a little bit different from wherever, place to place. But most of them are actually, Larry, they're starting their new growth. The bucks we're going to be, the big antlers we're hoping to see this fall are little buds right now, right?
They are. It's really interesting. What happens is the bucks have had a high testosterone level during the breeding season and all that kind of thing. And there is a point in there when that testosterone drops a tremendous amount very quickly. That's what causes that abscission line where the antler attaches to the skull. It separates, the antlers drop off, and literally almost immediately the skin that's around that pedicle where that antler grew from starts growing kind of toward the center of that pedicle, and then it starts growing the new antler. And we're at that stage right now to where I've seen some bucks on my place down close to Houston, kind of west of Houston, where they're up to, my gosh, they're probably about 2 or 3 inches or more up in growth. And then I've seen some other, you know, in some of the other places that I've been elite recently, and they're up to where they're probably maybe about an inch or so, but the antlers are growing right now, and this is such an important time. And of course, fawns are getting ready to be born here before too very long as well too. So the antler cycle is just is one of those really fascinating things. Antlers on deer, and I'm including in white-tailed deer, mule deer, elk, moose, caribou, that material that growing that forms that antler, which turns into real bone, is the second in rapidity of growth. And that's a big term, but it grows faster than anything else out there except for some of the cancer cells. So interesting kind of thing that's going on right now.
That's right. I remember you telling me around a campfire one time, Larry, if you could, this time of year, if you could just be watching a buck have his head immobile where he wasn't moving and watch him just glance over there every few seconds, you could actually almost see the growth. I mean, over the period of an hour or two, you can see how much they quickly, that's it's amazing. I mean, that is rapid growth for anything, you know?
It is, and this right now is a very important time for the animal to be on really good nutrition. Of course, it is springtime, and there's green up, and, you know, there's all kinds of things, so right now is an important time for that deer. It's an important time for nature out there too to produce the vegetation that these animals can eat. And deer are browsers, and you know, they may eat a little grass, but their system is not set up, even though they're ruminants with four chambers in their stomach like a cow, they can't take grass and turn it into anything that's important as far as nutrition is concerned. So they're out there eating the little weeds that are coming up. They're eating the fresh growth that's coming out. And so this is a very important time for that to happen. but also in very important time as far as that antler development is concerned.
Larry, you know, South Texas, I guess because of the soil and the plants that grow down there, has long been a trophy buck headquarters down there. I mean, they're just the soil and the plants, the nutrients down there just grow big antlers. But that's not so all over whitetail country. I know that. I mean, I think that's probably one of the key reasons that supplemental feeding with high protein diets of food for deer has become so popular. What, in the last several decades? I mean, when we were boys, you never heard of that. Maybe you could scratch up a little corn to put out to bring them in. You thought you were doing some good there, you know. But so now is when, so the supplemental feeding, say, if the buck is eating it right now, high protein, let's say, when the antlers are just beginning to form, is that going to work for the antler development, or did he need to be eating this food 2 months ago? I've often wondered about that.
He really should have been eating it starting about 2 months ago. Yeah. Just about time he started coming out of the rut kind of mm-hmm. thing. And what's interesting in South Texas, comparing South Texas to, say, Anderson County up mm-hmm. in around Palestine or Kaufman County or any of those counties up there, if you look at the nutritional value of plants in deep South Texas, talking about the brush country south of San Antonio, on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't change a whole lot over a period of the entire year. That average protein is probably in those plants anywhere from 16 to about 20% on a day-to-day basis, every day of the year. Now, if you look at some of the protein values in plants up in that northeast part of the state where I live, just kind of on the south edge of it, if you look at the protein values and the nutrient values of the plants during the springtime, we may be at 30, 35% protein. Now, in January or December, we may be down at 4%. Mm-hmm. And so you have these huge high peaks and valleys of nutrition value in the vegetation those animals eat, particularly in the northeastern third. Now, to grow really good deer as far as health-wise is concerned, and which reflected in their antlers, you want that nutritional value to be the same across on a day-to-day basis. That's where the protein type pellets that people are using these days comes into play, so that you've got a level playing ground, if you will, across the year in terms of nutrient value kind of thing.
Larry, I've heard you've told me before that you talk about mature bucks. Well, they're still growing. They're growing their longer bones and all that up to probably a three and a half year old buck deer as he's already got most of that. And then I guess from then on, once he develops his body fully, bone structure and all, well, then extra nutrients and all can go to antlers, right?
Exactly. Body is always going to take precedence over antlers. And actually, for the most part, our whitetail deer in Texas, they bodily mature at 4 years of age. So up until that time, they're still trying to grow long bone, they're still trying to develop the bigger muscles, all those kind of things. Well, body development is always going to take precedence. So once that nutritional level has been met to for growth and for maintenance, then that extra can be channeled, if you will, essentially into antlers. And that's really one of the reasons why those deer that are 4.5 years old or older have a tendency to have much bigger antlers than what the younger deer do. And of course, you're talking about that pedicle where that antler grows from. That is a bone. I mean, antler is true bone. And as that animal gets older, generally, in most instances, not always, but in most instances, that pedicle increases in size as well, too. So there's a larger surface from which that antler can grow from as they get a bit older. So age is really important. Nutrition is really important. Genetics are important, but to me, it's much more important to get those deer into an older age class in the presence of good nutrition if you want to try to have what I would call a quality deer herd in terms of body size, in terms of healthy animals, which are reflected in the antlers that they produce.
Larry, you know the kind of deer I like to hunt is mature, but I mean, I like, to be frank about it, I had just to soon shoot a huge 6-point as I had a 12 point, maybe more so. I don't know, but that's just me. The genetically speaking, say you've got a line of bucks that grow. They've been 6 points. You know, so a buck, let's say. Well, then his offspring are going to maybe. He might throw a six point buck. I guess that would be an influence on whether the antlers that the fawn would eventually have. Well, that 6 point, would he, with proper nutrition and all that, is that 6 point? I've seen some big old 6 points. Would he have potential to be branch out and have a big old heavy antlers? You know, although there's only 6 points, I guess my question is, would he benefit a 6 point or say a four corn? I've seen some big old four corn bucks, you know, by big, I mean, you know, maybe 20 inches wide. So the number of points is not necessarily parallel with how the mass of an antler. I guess that's my question.
You know, the genetics we're finding out is very interesting in deer. And to me, when you get right down to it, there's no such thing really as a quote-unquote cull deer kind of thing. There may be a management type buck. And to me, in most instances, again, let's go back to antlers are a reflection of the nutrition of that area. And genetics, of course, play into that as well, too. But in some research that was done by taking DNA off of thousands of deer on a huge ranch in South Texas that produces unbelievably big deer on occasion, they found that some of the best breeders, talking about the bucks that produced offsprings with bigger antlers, were not the biggest antlered bucks on the property. And with that being said, too, they caught a bunch of does as well, too. And so they could, we forget sometimes how important what a deer is going to look like in the future has a whole lot to do what kind of genetics his mother was carrying and what kind of a mother she was as well, too, in terms of being able to produce mm-hmm. milk and a healthy fawn. So to me, in most instances, to answer your question in a roundabout way, if you've got a whole bunch of 6 points and they're mature, chances are that could be a genetic link. And to me, if you don't like those kind of deer, not only should you be shooting the bucks, you need to be shooting the does in that area too, because they're going to produce, or they're going to be responsible for at least 50% of what that antlers are going to look like on her offspring, regardless who she breeds to. Some does are just very strong genetically. I had a friend of mine that had a pet doe that we were able to tag her fawns every year, or most of her fawns every year, on an open range situation in South Texas. And she lived to be 19 years of age. Well, we tagged every buck fawn through a permit that he had on the property through TPWD. And later in those bucks, out of those 19 years, the bucks that we tagged, 12 of those bucks were Boone and Crockett bucks out of her, because we knew they were because we were tagged by her. Now, she was bred by all kinds of different bucks. So she evidently had a very strong genetic line for antlers. But she was also one of those little does, and I'm talking about not little, but she looked like a little Jersey cow. I mean, she had a huge udder, and she was a good mama. So, you know, a lot of influences come into play as opposed to just saying, okay, we need to shoot every 8 point on our property.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you very quickly, a lot of times I've seen bucks that were 10 or 12 points at 3-4 years old turn into the prettiest 8 point the next year simply because they could not recover nutritionally before the antler development started again.
Awesome. Fascinating, Larry. I am told it's time to kick our campfire out for this week. I could go on and on quizzing you about deer, but you'll be right back here with us next week, and we're going to talk. I think we probably need to talk some more deer. What do you think, Larry?
I think it'd be a great idea.
All right. Folks, this segment is made possible by Ultramatic Feeders. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com and check out the most awesome line of game feeders in the world. I've been using these things for 15 years, and I've got one that's been in the woods about 10 or 11 years. I forget exactly how long. Check them out, ultramaticfeeders.com. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related, anything you need relating to air guns, go online to Pyramid, PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com.